Hey guys, Jim Vanosky with Manufacturing Talks. If you're like me and you've spent any time, any significant time in industry, you have heard of Fluke Reliability. They're one of the main players when it comes to predictive maintenance, thermal imaging, vibration analysis, really bringing some amazing tools to the maintenance world. And now they're forging into AI. I've been doing it for a few years, and they're kind of helping us cut through the thicket of what AI is and what it brings to the manufacturing world. I have Ankush Malhotra here. He's the president of Fluke Reliability. He's going to be on with us, telling us what AI is all about for industry. Going to be a great show. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a minute.
Welcome to Manufacturing Talks with Jim Vanosky. Industry has a million cool stories, and Jim talks to the movers and shakers who are making them happen. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to Manufacturing Talks. I'm Jim Vanosky. Thanks for joining us. I'm glad to have Ankush Malhotra here. I was going to say he's from London, but today he is not. He's actually over here in the States with us out west, and he is the president of Fluke Reliability. Welcome, Ankush.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me. Delighted to speak to you again. I remember us speaking a few weeks or months ago now, and really enjoyed the conversation, and especially around, you know, there's a lot of great development in technology and trends in the world, and it's a great opportunity to us to help our customers really in help them do their jobs better. So looking forward to our conversation today.
Yeah, and I was really glad to get reconnected with you because what Ankush is referring to is he and I collaborated on an article for Forbes about how industry is making use of AI, and I've been trying to kind of break through the noise and get people understanding, you know, what AI is and what it can bring to the manufacturing world. And so really glad to have you here. We'll dive into that in a second. But before we do, why don't you just tell folks about, you know, who you are, where you've come from, and how you got doing what you're doing today?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Ankush Malhotra, as you spoke, as you said. I'm the president of Fluke Reliability. Fluke Reliability is an operating company, part of a publicly traded company called Fortiv. I've been in this role for over 3 years, and really excited because I think we have a unique opportunity here to really help our customers in their workflows of moving from reactive maintenance to more predictive maintenance to really drive better outcomes, better asset uptime, more productivity and efficiency in those workflows, and also, you know, sustainability and safety goals that they have. A little bit about our business. You know, we're made up of a few different acquisitions. You know, a leader in vibration technology and alignment of machines technology called ProofTechnik, a leader in workflow asset management, computerized maintenance management software, eMaint. And then more recently, last year, we acquired a business called Azima DLI, which is really a leader in predictive maintenance and providing outcomes of how customers can drive asset uptime. So we put this platform together. We see an opportunity here where our customers have been asking for more hands-on, more help in really where they are in their journey. And we believe by putting these businesses together, we can really advance the connected reliability agenda for our customers to really drive improvements.
Well, and I've got to say, so I've spent over 3 decades in manufacturing. I'm a mechanical engineer by degree. And back when I was first getting in contact with your folks about having you first take part in that article and then the show here, you know, I kind of realized what a geek I am because I'm thinking, whoa, Fluke, that is so cool. I mean, who in industry hasn't heard of Fluke, right?
Sure, sure. We take great pride in our brand, and it's taken, you know, we celebrated 75 years last year as Fluke as a business. And again, our brand is really built on the promise of value we bring to our customers, right? Right. Safety, productivity, efficiency. And as you said, right, you know, you've been in this space for a long time. They're still customers, and, you know, yourselves probably with your experience can look at machines and look at the noise they're making and interpret. And I think we're trying to take that to the next level and see how do we take that expertise and bring it back to some of our customers so they can really drive value.
Yeah, and we're going to dive into some of the numbers behind that here in a little while. But, you know, that's the thing. You guys have been around forever. You've done this whole maintenance end and metrology for years and decades. And now you're diving into the whole AI world. And, you know, I was just amazed at what it brings to your business. But before we get into the particulars, can you just kind of give the people out there your short version of what AI is and what it brings to manufacturing? Yeah,
absolutely. Artificial intelligence more recently has gained a lot of prominence, primarily generative AI, which is really what's created a lot of the buzz, which is using large LLMs, large language models like ChatGPT, and a lot of technology, which is really helping the user do their job much more easily, giving them what we, you know, in the world's often calling a co-pilot to help drive the work that they do, right? And drive more productivity there. Yep. I think for us also, AI has been there for many years when we think about machine learning, when we think about predictive maintenance, right? Which really in simple terms is really collecting a lot of data, machine data, faults on those machines, and then really running algorithms so you can now start predicting based on history, based on those algorithms, what are those early warning signals that will tell you when that machine may have a breakdown. And as you know really well, Jim, you want to be able to do planned maintenance and manage that before a breakdown happens, because that's when, you know, a lot of money gets spent. Unplanned downtime is what all companies are trying to avoid. So I think that if you really think about AI, there's the generative AI and then, you know, machine learning and predictive maintenance, which is really using the data that's coming out of these machines to provide actionable insights to our customers.
Yeah. And so I know that Fluke was involved in AI going back at least a few years, but you mentioned the acquisition of Azima, and seems like, you know, from where I sit, that kind of supercharged your efforts into AI. What did Azima bring to the table for you guys?
Yeah, Jim. So maybe I'll start a little bit with the background here. So what we, you know, we've got a large service organization, and north of 100 very skilled individuals who are vibration experts who are helping our customer solve some critical problems. So think of a critical machinery in a power plant, and a downtime there for a couple of hours could cost, you know, a few $100,000. Right. So their whole purpose is to make sure that there's no unplanned downtime. Planned downtime is okay, but unplanned downtime is what they're trying to avoid. Yep. So our team goes in and has the expertise. They understand those machines, they understand vibration, and they're using years of experience to really help those customers to move to this unplanned, from planned or more from reactive to predictive. Mm-hmm. And over the years, we've been collecting this data, and that data giving us that insight to say, okay, now if we build algorithms around it, how can we take that, you know, human element away and provide value to our customers? And we've been doing this for a few years. We've known Azima for many years. And what the strength of Azima is that they've got close to 500 years, man years of this high level of expertise collecting this data. We're talking about, you know, 67 trillion individual test points. We're talking around 80,000 machines, 150,000 faults on those machines. And when you kind of look at that, that's like, you know, it would take us years to be able to do what Azima has been able to do. Right. So in some way, the combination of Azima along with some of the expertise we've had has really accelerated our strategy. And again, our strategy is simple. Our strategy is, how do we simplify connected reliability for our customers so they can drive asset uptime? And that's the strength of Azima. And again, the outcomes it's bringing is tremendous, right? Mm-hmm. All this data is great, but at the end of the day, it's really important what are the outcomes that customers are trying to get, right? We're talking about increase in production capacity, 2-3%, right? We're talking about reduction in maintenance expenditure. So this could be spare parts, this could be This could be equipment that requires, and I'm not even talking production downtime. I'm just talking the maintenance expenditure. Mm-hmm. We're talking about equipment longevity. We've been talking about sustainability even when we spoke last time. It's become a very important theme for our customers, not because it's the right thing to do. It drives the bottom line as well. And by doing planned maintenance, by avoiding unplanned downtime, what you're doing is you're increasing the longevity of these critical assets as much as 10-15%. Right. And that goes a long way in driving their sustainability goals.
For sure, yeah. And I think that's something people miss is there's that overt cost where it's lost production that everyone can identify, but there's that kind of covert cost of you know, additional emissions and additional fuel usage when you've lost that production time from downtime. Absolutely. I want to go back to something you said, though. You referred to someone like me who's been in industry for decades and my potential ability to actually hear a machine when it's not acting right. It's potentially ready to break down. But, you know, one person isn't going to have 60 or 70 trillion data points, right? So that to me is the power of AI, is to process that just unbelievable quantity of data and give you actionable things to do with it.
Absolutely. Jim, I think we're seeing a little bit of, you know, where we've, you know, there are various research on this. You probably have done yours. You know, there are probably 3 to 4 million, you know, manufacturing jobs that are going to be needing to be filled over the next decade. Yep. We believe half of them are going to be unfulfilled. So when you think about that gap, that pure labor gap, and then you think about that skilled labor gap, or you think about, you know, years of experience working around the workflow and the machine type, and now a new worker coming in and trying to, I think that's where AI has the biggest opportunity. How does AI complement some of and address some of these gaps in the marketplace, but also complement that worker, complement that maintenance tech who's really trying to drive efficiency in their workflow. And mm-hmm. AI can be really an ally there, right? It can help them drive efficiency in the work that they do every day by giving them more, giving them that co-pilot, giving them that predictive ability that they're able to, you know, rather than, as you pointed out, go work on certain machines or collect data on certain machines, which may never fail, to go focus on certain machines which are more critical. And there are some telling signs that they may go down. So I think we look at AI as really a strong supplement and really an opportunity that everyone needs to take advantage of, else we are going to face the situation where there's going to be a lack of labor shortage, but also a lack of skilled labor. And that's where AI can be that real complement.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I've talked about that on other shows where even if you ignore the skills training that we're lacking, the numbers are working against us. The baby boomers are retiring and they're the ones who have those decades of experience. And as they go out, there won't be the number of people to replace those experts. And so having this technology that can bring expertise, so to speak, is going to be critical to that labor situation.
Absolutely. We've got a really important partner for us in Africa. And, you know, they've got 60 analysts on their staff. And they serve heavy machinery, heavy industry, think mining, think oil and gas. And for them, they're really, you know, they're paid based on how they're able to prevent downtime and how they can drive efficiency at the customers. And for them, when they think about, you know, if some of those analysts have got 30 years, 35 years of experience, and at some point they are retiring, they're a little bit in a pickle and wondering, like, how do they replace that? It's not easy, right?
Yep.
And that's where we think Azima can be a great, great opportunity for them. What Azima is going to do is it's giving access to technology that someone who can, with very basic level of knowledge of vibration, can now leverage technology. And then Azima's technology, 93% of the vibration data can be interpreted without any human intervention, right? And I think leaving that 7% really the focus of what the skilled what the technician needs to work on.
Yep. Yeah, one thing you told me for the article when we talked previously was that Fluke now has rules-based predictive maintenance engines built for some 18,000 industry machines.
Yeah, 18,000, but who's counting?
So, tell people what that brings to your customers then.
Yeah. And again, I think Azima DLI has had 30 years of data, right? They've been looking at these asset classes, a variety of motors, pumps, compressors, blowers, and Jim, just to correct you, it's not 18,000, it's 80,000.
80. So yeah, that's a big difference.
But as I said, who's counting? I think the value here is that over 30 years, right, they've been analyzing these machine types, and over these period have been assessing when a fault happens on those machines, right? And then using algorithm and rules based on that data, they're saying, okay, if this is the early warning signal, this is what we could expect the future, using the past history and the data they've collected to really predict when that machine could go down based on those detection points, right? And I think for us, the real proof of this value was what customers were telling us, right? One of the largest customers is a food and beverage company called Cargill. You're probably very familiar with them. They've been using this technology for years. And they started off in two of their plants. But today, over 60, 70 plants, over 15,000 assets, and they're using this. And it's, again, the value it brings to them. They've reduced, 40% of the work that they were expecting to do with traditional methods has now gone away where they're leveraging Azima.
Yep.
And they trust the technology so much that they want to expand it in and double the number of assets that today are under coverage of this technology. So again, I think 30 years of data, lots of great insights. They've been able to build these algorithms, but the real testament of this is how the customers have responded to this and how they've been able to create value for them.
Right. Well, and knowing Cargill as I do, one thing about them that people may not be aware of is they've got just this amazing swath of businesses. So when you start talking about their production processes, it's, hundreds of different kinds of systems and thousands of different kinds of machines. And so that's where that 80,000 predictive maintenance engines that you can bring to the table are going to make all the difference for a company like that.
Absolutely. And again, I think our kind of roadmap and our goal is, how do we keep adding to this 80,000 different assets to the 85 to 90,000 so we can cover a broader set of asset class for our customers?
Right. So let me switch gears on you. If you have someone out there who says, oh, this sounds phenomenal, but I don't know even how to get started or what it takes. How difficult is it to jump in and start using the technology that you have to offer?
Yeah, Jim, it's a great question. And it's probably what gets me most excited is how quickly over the last 3 years, this has changed, right?
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. We've been doing a user conference called Accelerate. We do this every year in sunny Florida in March, where we have, 250, 300 of our customers there. And if I go back 3 years, 4 years, speaking to customers pre-COVID, asking them, right, why are they not? They see the value. They see all the data that says that using condition monitoring, doing predictive maintenance can create all this tremendous value and to the bottom line to their businesses. Why are they not doing it? And I think that was what was really like, how can we help our customers? How can we democratize the technology? Then the customer said, the three reasons they gave us. One, it was really a big capital investment they needed to make to get started. Number two, they would tell us that it takes too long to realize the return on that investment. and before they can scale it. Mm-hmm. And three, I think they were still trying to convince C-level executives or, you know, the value of this. Mm-hmm. I think that's all changed. And in all those reasons, right? Today, customers, again, take Azima as an example. A customer today on a very small asset class, right? We can come in and help customers pick, you know, what are your A assets? What are your most critical assets? And say, let's go deploy the technology there. They can get started within a few weeks, right? We have a process where we would go do a walk around, identify which assets, put the data sources, vibration sensors, so we can collect the data. And again, we've got these algorithms built. And over a few months, we can start creating and giving them these insights. So that return on that investment can be within 3 to 6 months, depending on the application. Mm. Now that's great. And the other thing is, it's very scalable. You start with a small group of assets, and then you can build up. I think the other thing is, as again, Jim, you've spoken about this as well, right? The cloud-based technology, the business models around where someone does not need to deploy this big, clunky software to really make things happen, is really making this much easier and allowing a lot of customers who would shy away from it to really get started because the entry cost is so low and the return on that investment is so quick and the ability to scale happened really quick. Yep. So I think that there's this real shift in the last 3 years that we've seen. We're going to be back with our customers here in end of March. And I can tell you, just based on some of the interactions I've had over the last few months, they're hungry to see how can they scale really fast now because they're seeing the value.
Well, yeah. And people with all the hype realize there's got to be something there. And I think having someone out there who can kind of break through that fog of, okay, how do I apply it? How do I get in this game is just super critical. So I'm glad Fluke is helping lead that charge.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
No, I was saying, Jim, I think, and again, you're familiar with Fluke over the years. When we think about thermal imaging as a technology, you know, go back more than a decade, right? This was a product with very limited applications, very high cost point. And over the years, we've democratized that technology, made it more available to customers, made it available for more applications where it's more suited. I think we're trying to do exactly the same when it comes to vibration technology, when it comes to using these AI-based algorithms, machine learning algorithms to on using vibration. And I think that's our goal here. How do we demystify? How do we democratize technology and make it more accessible?
Yep. Well, you anticipated my final question a bit because you did talk about adding to that catalog of engines you have built. But if you look at the business now, what are the next big things that Fluke has going generally and then more particularly in the AI world?
Yeah, maybe I'll start with the AI world first, right? Yeah. I think as, you know, with Azima, we have this really strong foundation that we can build off, right? How do we cover more asset classes? How do we cover more fault types? Right. At the end of the day, how do we get even higher precision than the 90% that I spoke about earlier, which does not require that human intervention? Right. So there's all that continuous improvement, which is a key part of our culture. How do we keep doing that to some of the technology? I also think, and you're familiar with some of our technology with eMaint, we've got a world class computerized maintenance management software. Right. Yep. It really helps our customers, our maintenance tech, manage their work on a daily basis. How do we provide co-pilot features? How do we provide ability for the software to allow them to do their job more effectively, right? When they're going and taking measurement in a machine, helping them be very guided in what to do, how to do, and bringing that knowledge. So I think there's an opportunity there for us to do more of that. So that's on the AI front, but broadly, we brought these businesses together because we saw an unmet need in the marketplace. Our customers were asking where they don't want data silos, where they want more of the connectedness between these various technologies or the data points really to drive insights and outcomes. And I think by bringing eMaint, Prüftechnik and Azima together under Fluke Reliability, we've now created that foundation. So a lot of the work we're going to do is really create that seamless experience for our customers, give them that easy button that they are able to allow for easy flow of data to provide insights, again, driving outcomes, asset uptime, more productivity, more sustainability of their machines and longevity of those assets. Really, that's our goal.
Wonderful. Well, as an industry guy, I'm back here cheering you on. So I wish you all the best with that. Thanks for coming on. Ankush Malhotra, President of Fluke Reliability. It was great having you here today.
Thank you, Jim. And thanks for all the encouragement you give us. We're here to help our customers on this journey and excited for our best years ahead of us.
Good deal. And of course, as always, thanks to the audience out there. That's why we're here. I hope you learned something interesting on this one, because I think it was really fascinating from where I sit. I can't promise they're all going to be this fascinating, but we're here at least every Tuesday and sometimes more often. They'll all be fascinating. So thanks again. So long.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks for tuning in to Manufacturing Talks with Jim Benosky. Watch for new episodes dropping every Tuesday. And don't forget to like, share, comment, and subscribe.